for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of July the 6th, 1995, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Billy Schaffner is the speaker for the evening.
Well, Brother Schaffner, come and take my place here and bring us the word of the Lord. Amen. Teach us that which the Lord has shown you.
Brother Glenn, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know that you're a blessed people.
Amen.
And you know that you're blessed according to His riches in glory.
Yes.
Now, not according to how much work you do, or how good you are, or how many good deeds you've done, but you're blessed according to His riches. Now, that ought to turn you on. Amen. Praise God. To think that we have the potential, that we stand in a position that we can be blessed with all the riches of His glory. He said He had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not that you're going to be, but He hath blessed us.
Amen.
Amen. Most of the promises of God is present tense, or He's already done it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to teach and minister tonight on the kingdom of God. Some aspects of the kingdom of God. When I came to the camp, it was not my intention to minister in this channel of thought. But last night, the Holy Spirit just kind of flowed us in to the kingdom. And the things of the kingdom, the potentials of the kingdom of God. And so tonight, I may be teaching along with preaching. And I may be a little more lengthy tonight. I don't know. But it depends on how the Holy Spirit directs us. Before we begin to minister, I'd like to bless the Word and ask the Lord to open our hearts to receive the Word of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight, and we know that it's blessed. We know that it's powerful. We know that it's anointed. But Father, we would love and we would praise You to let us your word come forth tonight in these dimensions. And Father, we pray that You would open our ears, that we might hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. We ask You to open our understanding tonight, that we might attain unto that which You want us to know. Father, we praise You for Your people. We thank You, God, for this great camp and for the anointing, the Lord, that we've been blessed with tonight, the anointed praise and worship. We just praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We were talking tonight in the former part of the service concerning the latter rain. Kind of missed the forefront of that, but got in on the latter part of it, I suppose. When our family received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we kind of came into a legalistic ministry. And then the Lord called me to a church that wasn't legalistic. If you can kind of catch the what happens here when you're moving in one realm of ministry, and the Lord places you in a church where everybody else is in another realm, you know that there's going to have to be some changes made somewhere. You're either going to have to change, or you're going to have to change the church. And guess who changed? Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, I'd only been in the ministry for like 6 or 8 months, and these people had been in the move of God ever since the latter rain had begun to fall. And so the Lord just, I'm sure, placed me in a situation to where I was exposed to the Spirit of the Lord, to the moving of God, to the outpouring of the Spirit. And I'll never forget the evening that I walked into a youth service where the song of the Lord was being sung. I thought I had arrived. I thought I was there. I mean, when my spirit was exposed to the song of the Lord, and I'd never heard it before. You remember when you first heard the song of the Lord? Amen. That flow of spirit, of praise. There was a transformation in my heart. And I believe that's what made the change in ministry, was the song of the Lord, was the flowing of the worship and praise. And in that, I found the liberty. There's one thing that I've noted in the move of God that just stands out above many, many other things. There's a liberty in the Spirit. There's a freedom to declare the word of the Lord. There's a freedom to proclaim truth and present truths to God's people in this ministry. So tonight I'm grateful for the things that the Lord has blessed us with, but the half has never yet been told. Amen. I'm excited tonight.
Hallelujah.
And there's an expectation in the church. Amen. There's an expectation of God doing great, mighty things in the church. The church has never entered into yet. Amen. All right. I want to begin tonight by inviting you to turn to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. And we're going to just begin here teaching a little bit on the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. The first question that I would like to ask us tonight is, what is the kingdom of God? What does the Word of God say that it is? What does the Word say that the kingdom of God is? Now, we know literally that a kingdom is a country or a territory that a king rules over. It's a country, a nation, a territory that a king rules over. But you will not find in the Word of God any plainer understanding of what the kingdom of God is as you will in Romans 14 and 17. And this is what Paul says, that the kingdom of God is, and what the kingdom of God is not. And you don't only need to know what the kingdom of God is, but you need to know what the kingdom of God is not, so that you will be able to determine where you are in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God means God ruling. When you hear, you hear authority. You hear the rule of God. And I can tell you how you can measure your extent in the kingdom today. It depends upon how far we have permitted God to rule in our lives. You understand that? Because when the kingdom of God comes, He comes with ruling authority. And Paul says here in Romans 14 and 17, For the kingdom of God is not food and drink. It is not meat and drink. It is not rituals. It is not forms. It is not programs. It is not something that man has designed. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and in that order. That is the order of the kingdom of God. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, where at this particular time do you find the righteousness of God? You find it within His people. You find it in you and I, the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that He has made us, God has made us the righteousness of God in Christ, who knew no sin, but He was made sin for us, and we have been made the righteousness of God. Everybody say, I'm the righteousness of God. I didn't hear you. All right. You are indeed the righteousness of God by the declaration of the Word of God. And I want to tell you, right standing in God gives you the authority and the place to stand in His presence. And when you stand in the presence of God, you can stand uncondemned, without guilt, without any taint of guilt upon your life. Now, there's a lot of God's people today saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're still walking under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. That is not the case when the Word of God declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I'll never forget when that scripture was quickened in my heart, when it became real to me, when all guilt and condemnation was erased from my conscience, because the Word of God became life in my spirit, and condemnation had to go, guilt had to go, because God's Word is greater than condemnation, it's greater than guilt, it's greater than what Satan can lay upon you. Jesus moved that. And the Bible said we were made the righteousness of God. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, I have right standing before God. Therefore, I have an audience in heaven. Therefore, I can activate the heavens. Man, this just keeps coming to me. When the heavens are activated, when the heavens are opened, when the heavens begin to acknowledge the Word and the Spirit of God in you and me, glory to God. There's a mighty glory coming. And it's coming forth today from these temples made from clay. There's a mighty glory coming. And it's coming from the presence of the Lord. I want to say at this time, again, I think I made this statement last night, that the kingdom of God is progressive. It is progressive. And we're going to deal with the kingdom of God here, now. We're going to take Scripture and we're going to deal with the kingdom of God now. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, if the kingdom of God is really what the Word declares it to be here, then the kingdom of God, that is righteousness, peace, and joy, it's in me. Because that's where the righteousness, peace, and joy of God is. It's in the church. It's in the body. It's in the many-membered body. It's in the many-membered man. Hallelujah. And I want to read the second verse that goes with that. In verse 18. It says, "For he who serves Christ in these things, righteousness, peace, and joy, in the Holy Ghost, he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved of man." Hallelujah. It's all right to walk in the kingdom. It's all right to declare the kingdom. It's all right to declare righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, because it says he that serves Christ in these things is approved of God and of man. Hallelujah. So we're not teaching something that's out of so off the wall that God can't put his approval on it. And we're not preaching anything so off the wall that man cannot see and approve what God is doing in our lives. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the progression of the kingdom of God. I'm glad that it has come this far in you and me. Amen. All right. Then the kingdom of God, he tells us what it is. Then I would like for us to look at a scripture. Let's see where the kingdom of God is now. Where is it now? Is it heaven? You know, most people think the kingdom of God, if you start talking about the kingdom of God, they immediately think heaven. Well, let's see what Jesus says. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, looking at verse 20 and 21. You see, the disciples wanted to know about the kingdom too. And the Pharisees wanted to know about the kingdom too, and they wanted to know. And Jesus said to them here in verse 20, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation. It does not come with a fanfare. It does not announce its coming.'" Amen. The kingdom of God comes without observation, letting us to know at this time it is a spiritual kingdom. It is a spiritual domain. It is operated and authorized by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, we people that are spirit-filled, of the Spirit, and prophesy and speak in other language and pray in other language, we do not magnify the Holy Spirit greatly enough. Jesus said when he went away, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Ghost will not come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. I'll send you another comforter. I'll send you someone just like me." Hallelujah. I wonder if the world would be any more excited if they were to see Jesus in the flesh as they would to sense his presence and the moving of his power. He's made it essential for you and I to believe, to have faith, because you don't see him. He comes without observation. The night that he came and filled me, and I had sought and waited and tarried and had people to pray for me night after night after night, and it seemed like I could not believe for an infilling of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Glenn, when he came so quietly. He came without observation. No one around me knew that he had come but me, just for a little while.
But when I discovered that he had come, oh, I almost came loose at the seams. I heard myself speaking in a beautiful language, a clear language. Just as clear as I speak English, I was speaking another language. And I sat there for several moments, just enjoying listening to the expression of the Holy Spirit. Then it suddenly dawned upon me that I'm filled, I'm baptized. I have received what I've waited for, but it came without observation. Jesus said, when the kingdom of God comes, it'll come, it does not come with observation, nor will they say, here, see here, here he is, or see there, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Wow. You mean the kingdom of God is within me? If the kingdom of God is in me, the king's got to be in me. Amen. And if the king is in me, there's got to be some authority of the king in me. And this is why I say that the kingdom of God is progressive. Because even unto this time, we do not realize the extent and the potential and the power of the kingdom of God. Oh, but it's coming, and it's coming on time. You know, a lot of us Spirit-filled people, Pentecostal people, we read the Word and we find out what's supposed to be happening, and we try to make it happen. You know, I deal with people all the time. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Well, I can't tell them why it's not happening. I just know that everything in this Word will be fulfilled. I know that it will happen. And I want to tell you tonight, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and you let the inner Christ, the Spirit of the living God, work in you. Never quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit of God. There is great things in store. A lot of people that know what the Word of God says, and they try to make it happen, and they can't make it happen within themselves, they get discouraged. And they said, well, I thought the preacher said this and this is supposed to happen. And they get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Keep an expectancy of God. Always be excited about God. Always have a zeal for God. The zeal of the Lord will thrust you and move you and keep you in God. Praise God. Don't try to play down the moving of God or the expressions of God or the shouting or the praises or the word. Don't ever play that down. Don't never try to put it out of your life. Those are the things that keeps your spirit alive and quickened in the Lord. Man, tonight, as we flowed in the Spirit of God, my heart and spirit was filled again and again and enriched in His presence. Those things carry the power of the kingdom within them. Now, the kingdom of God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God will not come with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. The Amplified Bible says, the kingdom of God is in you. He is all among you. He's around you. The kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Tonight, when you listen to the news media, when you read the news media, and you see all of the calamities and the chaotic things that is happening in the world, you hear of the perplexity of nations, wars, rumors of wars. That's not new. That's written. That's coming to pass. But let me tell you, the Bible says when you see and hear these things, you get your eyes on Him. I want you to know that God has got a people
God has always wanted a kingdom of priests. That's what he started out wanting in Exodus chapter 19, and he hadn't given up yet. He's going to have a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Within all the perplexities and all the chaotic things and all of the wickedness and vices and drugs and sex, illicit sex, and all of the things that's going on, I want to tell you, God's kingdom has got a territory that he's claiming, and the world can't put their hand on it. Hallelujah. Young people, God has chosen you for his special treasure. You are the treasure of the Lord. The kingdom of God is like a treasure that's hid in a field. When one man who finds it, he hides it. And a nun with joy, he goes and he sells everything that he had, and he comes and buys that treasure in the field. You are that treasure. You are that treasure that Jesus sold everything that he had. He left his glory. He left his splendor of glory. And he came. And he didn't just buy the treasure, but he bought the field. He bought the whole world, the whole field. Amen. Don't listen to anybody that says the devil owns this earth. He don't own this earth. He don't own this planet. This planet is God's. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and all those that dwell therein. Hallelujah to God. Now, Satan is the god of the world. The arrangement of the world, the spirit of the world, is in the hands of Satan today. But we're not. Amen. And the world is not. The world, the earth, belongs to God. And one of these days, he'll redeem it completely and cleanse it. Glory to God. And it'll be fitting to live in. Glory. Praise God. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom of God is within you and I. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to deal with a thought. I want us to think of the greatness of the kingdom. How great is the kingdom of God? The sphere of the kingdom, how far reaching is it? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And verse 7 through 11, I want you to see the potential of one subject. Miss Linda has been kindly exhorting us about the little finger principle. Amen, that there's more power in the little finger than all the power that's in the world. That's right. And I want you to think with me the potential, the greatness of the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. Jesus said in verse 7, Matthew chapter 11, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft garments are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Have you ever considered the greatness of John? Have you ever considered the position that he held? The prophetic word that prophesied him into being? He was a forerunner of Jesus. He prepared the way before Jesus. He dwelt in the wilderness, in the desert, while growing up, and the presence of God visited him, and God told him that he was going to show him the Messiah, and he would know the Messiah, or he would know Jesus, when the Spirit of God came upon him and abode upon him. He was a man that all Judea went out to listen to and was baptized by and repented through his ministry. Jesus said, Elijah has already come, if you can hear it, speaking about John the Baptist. When asked, why do the people say that Elijah must come before the great and notable day of the Lord, or before the Messiah? And Jesus said, if you can hear it, he's already come. What I'm trying to tell you, in comparison to one who is least in the kingdom of God, John was a great, powerful, more than a prophet, Jesus said. But he said, the least one in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Now, you can cut that any way you want, but it's still going to say the same thing. It's going to say, if there is a person that has received the kingdom of God, that's in the kingdom of God, his sphere and potential is greater in position and time than John. In other words, let me declare unto you tonight, church, that are greater than John is here. You know, there are still people that's serving under that ministry, under John's baptism. You know that. You know that there are those that are still serving under the doctrine, just the doctrine of repentance, under baptism. I want to tell you, there's a greater than John here tonight. Everyone that is in the kingdom of God, potentially, positionally, timely, is greater. I'm saying this only to tell you that there is a potential of God's authority empowering you that you've never touched yet. It has never been activated. There is a fallow ground in us, in our spirit, that's never been turned over, Brother Glenn. But it's about to be. It's about to be. God's on time. I'll guarantee you he won't be 1 second off. God is bringing to pass and progressing his kingdom according to his plan and purpose. And you and I just simply want to be with him. We want to be walking with him. We don't want to get ahead of him. We don't want to fall behind him. But we want to walk in step with Jesus today. Because if you walk in the steps of Jesus, he will not withhold any good thing from you. Amen. You know, I used to wrestle with that scripture somewhat, and when I read what Jesus said about the least in the kingdom of God was greater than John, I wrestled with that. But that was before I tasted of the kingdom. Do you remember over in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, while Paul was passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, and he found disciples there, and he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, or did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? They said, well, we hadn't heard that there was a Holy Ghost. We don't even know about the Holy Ghost. And he said, well, then what was you baptized unto? And they said, we were baptized unto John's baptism for remission of sin. And he expounded unto them more clearly the word of the Lord. And I'll tell you what they hadn't heard. They hadn't heard about the power of the kingdom. They hadn't heard the Holy Ghost had come. Because when the Holy Ghost came, he ushered in the kingdom. Even though Jesus manifested the kingdom on Mount Transfiguration on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came and filled 120, it brought the kingdom of God. And these people said, we hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost. And you know, in the hearts of a lot of people today, they have not heard about the Holy Ghost. And when Paul laid his hands upon them and prayed for them, the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is progressive. The Holy Ghost is in that progression. If you have not received the Holy Ghost, then you need to receive the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that is in the progression of the kingdom of God. Jesus said you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1 and 8. And when they inquired of him right there before his translation or before his ascension, when they still was asking about the kingdom of God, when will you restore the kingdom? All they was concerned about was just getting an earthly kingdom set up and running all the Romans out. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the season. That's in the Father's hands and in His care. But He said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Dunamis, dynamite, ability. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you see, there is no limit. There is no limit in the kingdom. Hallelujah. There'll not be a barrier out there somewhere to stop. Like people have been today, people have been delayed in their walk. Some people have been delayed in their walk. But in the kingdom of God, there is no limit. There's no barriers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 32, Daniel sees the kingdom of God. He sees it. Can you remember in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seed, but when buried in the earth and it comes forth, it's greater than all the trees of the field. The kingdom of God is progressive. Don't get wearied in well. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your experience with God. Just know, like the mustard seed grow, Christ will grow in you. The Christ will grow in you. Now, this is what Daniel said about, I'm going to read a few verses here, in interpreting the dream of the king. He said the image's head was of gold. And arms were silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on his feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. The King James, the original King James, if I'm not mistaken, I'm reading out of a new King James, that Daniel said that you seen a stone removed without hands. See anybody looking at a King James translation? It would be in verse 34, I believe. The stone was what? It was cut out of the mountain without hands. There is no man's hand upon it. This stone that was cut out of the mountain, it was cut out without hands. Man had nothing to do with it. He had nothing to do with the birth of it. And he had nothing to do with the death of it as far as taking the life of Jesus, because Jesus gave his life. But Daniel seen this stone, or he interpreted this dream of the king. He said, "You seen a stone cut out of a mountain without hands." Humanity didn't have anything to do with it. Not a man's hand has tainted this kingdom. Whew. Did you hear what I said? Man, he's put his hand on everything else, but he can't put his hand on this stone. He cannot leave his prints there. We leave our prints about everywhere else that we go and work and do. But the prints of man's hand is not upon this kingdom. And he said, "You seen that stone, and you seen the image." And the image that he described was the entire Gentile nation, makeup, world order. He seen the head of stones, shoulder and arms of silver, and right on down to the feet. He seen the kingdoms. He seen the consummation. He seen the togetherness, and it's happening. The world is coming together. They're getting it together. You know that, don't you? You know that the last two presidents that we've had has made these terms and spoke these terms many times for a new world order. We're close to it. We're on the threshold of a new world order and a new world religion. And if you'll read Daniel chapter 2, slowly, prayerfully, you will see the combination and the consummation of every kingdom of this world right there in that image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. But it was the stone that was removed out of the mountain without hands that destroyed it. Hallelujah. What the world don't know, there's a mighty stone rolling down through Babylon. And it's tearing down the kingdoms of this world. The stone fell upon the base of the world order of kingdoms, and it began to crush the entire image to powder. Glory to God. This will perhaps happen. I'm not prophesying this, but this perhaps will happen in some of your days. While you're still here, you will have the privilege of seeing that stone, the kingdom of God, falling upon the systems and kingdoms of this world and grinding it to powder. And then there shall be a loud voice from heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms our Lord." Whew. I want you to know I've got a part in that stone. You've got a part in that stone. Amen. Now, the rest of this scripture says that the wind carried away, the image became a great mountain. The stone that struck the image, in verse 35, the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now the kingdom of God is coming. Kingdom of God is here now. There is a kingdom within now. But the progression of that kingdom is going to bring down all the kingdoms of the world, and the kingdom of God is going to fill the
entire earth. Hallelujah. Stop and think. Don't let your eyes get so trained on the perplexities and the circumstances and conditions of the world, and certainly don't get caught up in surfeiting and rioting or anything this world has to offer. Because God's doing some things today that'll cause you to miss it if you get caught up in those things. Amen. Praise God. So the kingdom of God we've seen here, that stone that was taken out of the mountain, it became a mountain. It became a mountain just like the one it was took out. And it filled all the earth. The kingdom of God is progressive. Amen. I want you to see, let's turn to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read this. We're going to move through some of these scriptures now. 6 and 7. Now we've just talked about the increase of the kingdom in Daniel 2. Now I want you to notice here the increase of the kingdom. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now you see the progression? You see the progression here? "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the kingdom," or the government, "will be upon his shoulders," or upon his shoulder. "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Do you see the progression? A child was born, a son was given. I know that you understand this, that Jesus was the pattern son, but he has a company. He has a many-membered man, and that's us. We are members in particular to his body. How many of you know that you're a member in particular to his body? He is the head. And the shoulder begins with you. Now this is throwing a different light or a different progression upon the kingdom of God. The government now is upon his shoulders, upon the body. God is bringing a people, an end time people, a people upon which the ends of this world has come, that the kingdom or the government of the Son of God rest upon the shoulders. Hallelujah. You will help order the kingdom. You will be in a position. Remember what Jesus said? "He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John." John never carried the kingdom on his shoulders. He didn't live in that time, but you and I do. And it says that the government shall be upon his shoulders, upon the shoulder of the body, the many-membered man, and the increase. There will be no end to the increase. There will be no limitation. The kingdom of God will not be limited. The increase of his government and his peace, the Bible says, there will be no end. Hallelujah. We're attached to something tonight that's the greatest thing going. Don't let anybody kid you. There's nothing going in this earth as great as the kingdom of God. You'll get opportunities to join things. You'll get opportunities to become part of things. But you will never get a greater opportunity than to become a part of the kingdom of God. Now, in closing,
this message tonight, I want to point out some of the ministry of this kingdom, the kingdom of God. I want to point out some of the ministry, and I want to show us tonight how that ministry that is upon the many-membered man, the church, you and I, members in particular, how that ministry is going to usher in and transcend the kingdom. I don't know how close we are to this. The Lord does a lot of things suddenly. He may do this suddenly. It frightens me to think about 2,000. I mean, it just kind of strikes, not a real trembling fear like panicky fear, but just maybe the fear of God. Ever since I've known anything about the Holy Spirit, 2,000 A.D. has just kind of sounded a note in my spirit. Do you know we're looking at it? Within 5 years, you're looking at 2,000. You're looking at a time element of 2,000 years since Christ. And by all biblical principle, time-pointing scriptures, something's supposed to happen about 2,000. Every 2,000 years. Did you know longest dispensation? I mean, there's been six. We're living in the sixth dispensation now. And the dispensation of grace has lingered on and on. And you talk to some people today and you tell them about the appearing of the Lord. They'll say, I heard that all my life. And Peter wrote about those folks. He said, there'll be scoffers in the end time saying, or is the coming of the Lord. They'll say, it'll be just like it was before Noah. Time will just go on like usual. But that's not the truth. There's changes of ages and dispensation, and you're looking right into the face of the kingdom of God. When these things that we read tonight shall transpire, they will be ushered in, and they could come suddenly. The progression of the kingdom has taken a long time, but it will come to pass. Amen. Now, in closing, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11, and I want to just point out the ministry of the kingdom that's going to transist the kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah, looking down through the telescope of time, said, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Now, you know, I've got a concept here, and I wouldn't be disagreeable if you disagreed with my concept. In fact, as I said last night, I'm transparent. Anything that you want to question me about that I read or preach, you feel free to do so. But my concept of this prophecy is that Jesus was that rod that came out of the stem of Jesse. And it says, a branch shall grow out of his roots. And Jesus tells us in John 15 that we are the branches. He is the vine. He is the rod or the vine or that which has the roots. And you are the branches. Now, again, this is my concept. If you disagree with it, can I help it if I'm right? Some of you are still awake and can laugh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And we're going to see in these next two verses the ministry of this many-membered man that God is raising up today. And we're going to see the ministry as it transists from right out of the church age into the kingdom of God. Let me say this tonight. The church is the vehicle of the kingdom. The church is the vehicle of the kingdom. We're still operating in church functions in grace age. But one day, that will transition. Now, it says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And Brother Glenn, when I read that again this evening, as I've read it many times, when I read across this verse of Scripture where it said, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, I thought, thank God the Spirit has found a place where he'll never have to move anymore. He's found a resting place. All through the old dispensation, all through the law and the prophets and the kings, he could never find a place to rest. During the church world, even during the time that we are in, he's never found a permanent place of rest. But it says the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest. Can you comprehend what is in those words? It is implying that he hasn't rested. It is denoting that he has been moving and searching and gathering and drawing and bringing and working. Woo! But now he's found a place upon which he can rest, upon the branch that came out of the rod that came out of Jesse. Glory. Did you say that, Brother Doc? Enter into his rest. Enter into his rest. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Now here is the ministry. Here's the ministry that will be manifested, kingdom ministry that will consummate this age and bring us into the kingdom. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Now we won't even try to minister on these seven spirits of the Lord. But every one of them contains a message of ministry. I've got to say something about the spirit of understanding, because I've got to exhort us to allow that spirit of understanding to rest upon our lives. Because the absence of that spirit and that ministry has wrecked many lives and divided many churches and has split many fellowships just simply because the spirit of understanding wasn't in operation. But it'll operate in this man. The spirit of understanding will operate. And it'll bring hearts together. It'll bring changes in the earth. It'll bring changes. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might will rest upon this many-membered branch, this company, this people that is spoken of here. Hallelujah. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These seven spirits will rest and minister kingdom ministry. And listen to the transition. I'm doing this in closing. I want you to listen as it transists, as we go from one age to another, from one dispensation to another. It says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. We know that the church, that hasn't been the delight of the church. You know that. The delight of the church, as we know it, has not been the fear of the Lord. Because let me tell you something, if the church had any inkling of the fear of the Lord, it'd shape up. Well, we won't get into that. We don't have time to get into that. But we know that the spirit of the fear of the Lord is just not operative in the church. His delight. This many-membered man, this branch, this ministry, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. Now, God's going to be operating through his people at this time. There's going to be an operation of the moving of God's Spirit and the power of God that you've never seen before. You talk about the revivals back through history. They've been great. They've moved nations. They've moved country. In the former part of this 1900, the Holy Ghost was poured out afresh again. Then the latter rain came in 48. And then there's renewals that has come. Man, none of them will compare to this. None of the things that has happened will compare to this. Because he's going to have a people upon whom will judge righteous judgment, will have wisdom and understanding, will have the spirit of the fear of the Lord and might and counsel. And the Bible says that in verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Hallelujah. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. I want to just substantiate this, just if you'll just stay with me for just a few minutes. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26 and 27. Is everybody awake? Say amen.
Amen.
I don't usually speak this long, so I don't want to bore you. Thank you. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be overcomers? Let me see your hand if you want to be overcomers. Almost everybody's hand went up, wants to be overcomers. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight, is overcomers. Now, I've just read a scripture, a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11 about a people that's going... Let me just hold your place there. A people that's going to strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2:26 of Revelation. And he who overcomes. Everybody say, I'm an overcomer. And he who overcomes and keeps my words until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Now, some of you, over what, brother?
Works.
Works, is that what?
Instead of words, my works. That's what mine says. Yours may be clear.
Well, what are you reading from? King James?
Yeah. King James.
Works. Okay. All right, the New King James here says, he who overcomes and keeps my words shall until the end, to him I'll give power over the nations. Man, that is a drastic. Okay, well, that's good. He'll give them power over, sure. Sure, over the works. That's good. I don't know where I thought the King James said nations, but, you know, that's the way we are. We think, we supposed, you know, that that's what it said. But anyway, works.
This is over the nations.
He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations.
Well, where did works come from?
You just said words.
It says nations. That's what I read.
It says nations, but
No. We talked about it before, but you said words. You said, who you keep my works, and you said words.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. I'm straight now.
Job
Bibles all say the same.
Okay, praise God. I'm glad they do. Let me read that over again now that I've got my bearings. I couldn't figure out where we was missing one another. He who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I'll give power over the nations. And listen to this. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken to pieces, as I also have received from my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen.
It says the overcomer is going to rule the earth. The overcomer is this branch upon which the seven spirits of the Lord has found a rest and will begin to minister in the end of this age. Man, there's one better than that in 3:21. Turn to that one. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Is this too good to be true? Is this too much? To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. I'm trying to read and to substantiate in the Word of God that in the kingdom ministry, the authority of God is going to be ruling. Amen. Let me finish. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness, in verse 5, back in Isaiah 11, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Now you have just seen a transition taking place. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Now, this is the transition into the kingdom. This is when even the nature of the animals, the viciousness, and the base nature is restored. This is the restoration into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And think about it, folks. I believe that we're living right in the mouth of it. I believe that even now, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to bring us into the ministry, to give us knowledge of the authority of the kingdom. And when it happens, you'll have that authority. You'll have that authority. Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for the good moving of your Spirit. We thank you for the Word of God that's eternal, that's settled in the heavens. And Father, we pray that this Word now, Lord, shall be sealed in our spirits and will become applicable, and as we hear it, that we will apply it in our lives and we'll walk accordingly to the Word. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've already done. We thank you for what you're doing now, and we thank you for what you're going to do. Give us a mind and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. And we'll praise you, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
You missed another good one I didn't get a chance to say, but turn to Revelation 21:7. And there it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And then it goes on to say, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So there we talk about sonship and the overcomer and the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, you don't have to call it manifestation of the sons of God, but that's what it amounts to, because it says here that he shall be my son. So we come into a full authority of sonship with the Lord Jesus here to the overcomer. I also believe that the kingdom age is somewhere amongst us at this hour. You know, I believe that because of this fact. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, wasn't he? And he grew from a baby to the time he was 12 years old and appeared in the temple. Then he went on until he was shown and came forth when he went and was baptized of John in the river. And Jesus and the Father said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him." What do we have? We had a 30-year period of time, didn't we? And I believe that there's a transition period that we are possibly in right now that is comparable to that 30-year period of time of Jesus' transition from the time he was born until the time he was manifested as the Son of God. And I don't believe that the kingdom is something that's going to happen overnight, just as Brother Billy was explaining to us. I believe it's something that transpires over a period of time. I don't believe that, as tradition has taught us, I do not believe that like that the kingdom will appear. I do not believe that, because if that happened, who would be ready or who would be capable of ministering or ruling and reigning in the kingdom? You have, and the Lord says that there will be given 10 cities to one and 5 cities to another and so forth, but it'll be to those who have prepared themselves down through the ages to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus, who will come. And and another thing is, tradition has taught us that when that happens, and I don't believe it will, that instantly the earth will be cleansed and everything will be all right. I don't believe that. I believe that those who are going to rule and reign in the kingdom will have to rule with that rod of iron. And it will take maybe several, even 100 years or several hundred years to cleanse the earth and bring it back to the Garden of Eden like it was. You're not going to do away with pornography by an instantaneous thing. Pornography, all the films, all the masters have to be found and destroyed. All the pornography in the homes and on the bookshelves has to be destroyed. Somebody has to work and labor. Somebody has to labor in the kingdom. I intend to labor in the kingdom. But it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight, as tradition has taught us. Get that out of your thinking. It's going to be something that we have. The scripture says it grew, that the kingdom grew. It's going to grow as the manifestation of God in the earth through his people brings to pass that which is necessary to cleanse the earth. All the stories have to be destroyed. Pharmakia. All the drugs have to be destroyed. All that makes the drugs has to be destroyed. It has to be destroyed out of the warehouses and out of the drug stores and out of the homes. It has to be destroyed. All the pornography signs that appear, and all the liquor signs that are all over the world, and all of the blueprints and all the drawings printing companies and all, that all has to be destroyed. The earth has to be cleansed. Did you ever consider that all that has to be done? Did you really think that Jesus was going to come back in the twinkling of an eye, and instantly the earth was going to be cleansed? No. It's going to take you and me laboring with those who have gone before us that come back with the Lord at that time. It's going to take us laboring together to cleanse the earth. And then the scripture tells us something phenomenal. After 1,000 years of cleansing the earth and living under the rule of the rod of iron of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, that there will still be a multitude without number who have bowed their knee to Jesus only because they had to, but not in their heart. And they will rise up with Satan and stand as an army against God and against His anointed. That is hard to fathom. So, even though the earth is cleansed, there will still be a multitude without number that will stand to declare their allegiance with Lucifer. Without number. And that is something that is almost incomparable. Now, we have today we have people who are in rebellion against God. But they're not being ruled with the rod of iron with Jesus as Lord. But in the kingdom, they'll be ruled with the rod of iron of righteousness, righteous law, righteous judgment. And yet they will not actually, in their heart, acknowledge and make Jesus Lord. Even though there'll be no sickness, even though they'll live in bliss and poverty and everything will be done away with because of the rule of the kingdom of God. And yet they will still be in rebellion against God. It's hard to comprehend. But I believe that it is possible that we right now have entered in somewhere in the area of the transition into the kingdom age. And we can look at the things that are happening in the earth, and we can see that something tremendous is about to take place. You can feel it. You know it. You can't explain exactly what it is, but it's in the air. And I thank the Lord that I live in the hour to see the consummation of the ages and the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to rule and reign in the kingdom with the King of Kings and declare that He is Lord of Lords and that Jesus is His name. Amen, amen. So, some of us need to get our thinking changed about what tradition has taught us and study the Word and see what the Word says and not what man has taught us. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.